Hi, and welcome to Jackie Winter Gives You the Business. I'm Jeremy Wartzman.
And I'm Bianca Brumman.
And I'm Laura Chan Baker.
Just kidding. Laura's not here. Sorry, Laura. Jackie Winter Gives You the Business is a weekly podcast all about creative management and production and just making things happen in general from the Jackie Winter Group. We are a creative production and representation studio based in Melbourne and New York City. Today, we go through various online project management tools and explore their many uses, as well as how they might help or hinder workflow. But before we get into that, B, just me and you today.
I know, it's weird. And we're also sitting in the same room, which is even stranger.
I know. It was an amazing episode last week. I think, you know, we really kind of all came together. But that was it. That was a once-in-a-lifetime thing. Like
the band back together.
Exactly. Like yeah. The solar eclipse.
No, I'm good. I spent Jackie Winter, subtle plug here. I spent the weekend at Jackie Winter Gardens, which is our guest house out in Belgrave, Victoria, which was really beautiful. The garden is very lush and the house is really relaxing. Played a lot of card games.
That's not all you did. I got a call from the cleaners. Like, how many people were here?
How many bottles of wine? Joke.
So before we get stuck into our main topic today, I think we'll go into things as usual from our professional development Slack. A few links that came up, one that I found via Product Hunt, which I loved, which is a very simple one called Intro Sender. It's introsender.com. And really what this is all about is it's just an easy way to make an introduction. So you put your name, you put person one who needs to accept the introduction and the person two who is requesting the introduction, and then everything kind of happens from there. I mean, this is one of the things that's the bane of my existence all the time. Trying to get kind of two people together. But one thing, Sally from Creative Mornings New York has coined this, the double opt-in intro. Because if someone wants an introduction to some other person, one of my pet peeves is like automatically being introduced to somebody.
Oh God, it's my pet peeve as well. Like, because it puts so much unnecessary pressure on you. Like, I always find that when someone introduces me blindly to someone else, it always happens at the worst possible time. Like, I'm like wrapping up to, you know, go on like annual leave or something, and then suddenly like I feel this like immense pressure, like, oh my God, like I've got so many things that I need to do. This is the worst time to, you know, be introduced to someone, to have a coffee with them. And then I feel terrible because it's 2 weeks before I get back in touch with them.
I know. I mean, I call this like, it's like the throwing the baby technique. Like, you know, when someone's about to pickpocket you in Eastern Europe, like they just kind of, sorry, Eastern Europe, but anyway, so you know, they just throw the baby at you, and then like you're like, ah. So yeah, the whole double opt-in is great because you ask a person, hey, this person would like an introduction, like, you know, is this okay to do? But sometimes that whole process takes time as well. So this is an interesting app that kind of, I guess, automates that a bit. It does kind of require LinkedIn, which not everybody kind of has, to know who you're getting into. But look, it's an interesting idea. And I think leading into that is our second link, which is all about, again, from Fast Company, that says it's all about email templates to use when you want to ask for an introduction. So I guess this is a bit of a more extended riff on this in terms of trying to get kind of two people together. B, what did you think about this?
I mean, like, I love the very first step is to be direct in your ask, but actually give the person that you're asking a favor from an out. So important.
That is really important. And I find that something I think I still kind of struggle with that in my own emails. It's like, you know, if I'm ever asking somebody, you know, if they want to kind of do something, I always kind of say like, you know, but it's totally okay, like, if you're not up for it, if you don't have time. But I've always felt that it doesn't really feel that kind of genuine. So I really do like how they start this with there and give you some more kind of concrete ideas of what you can do. And I think that is important because sometimes, like, if there isn't an out there, that might also mean I delay kind of writing the email back because I don't know how to do, because I really want to make sure. Yeah, like I'm.
Yeah, I mean, you are asking people for their time or for a favor in a lot of these instances. So, I guess crafting an email in a way that, I mean, and relationships are important. And you know, if you're the middle person that's introducing two people, you know, you have a relationship with both of those people that you want to uphold. So it's so important to get it right.
Well, yeah, and one of the points here that they raise is making your mutual connection look good.
Yeah.
And I think that's another real tricky thing. Sometimes you want to introduce somebody to somebody else, but you're like, oh, I don't know if these people are going to actually get together, or I don't know you well enough, because as soon as you make that intro, they're forever kind of connected to you. So asking for intros and doing this kind of, I guess, real kind of networking in that way is kind of crucial. But yeah, it does require a bit more thought than just kind of for asking for an intro. So that's why why I kind of really like these links. And then finally, this is something that was going the rounds on another Slack of mine. And this is an article all about how product illustration is used on a variety of different SaaS companies, software as a service. Yeah, if you've been using the internet at all for the last few years, you'll notice kind of everyone kind of has their own different yet same kind of style of illustration to kind of sell their products. And I think, yeah, there is a reason why that we'll kind of get into, but also, you know, talks about how to really be effective with illustration in this regard and things that you kind of should consider to make it a bit more than just kind of superficial coatings on it.
Yeah.
B, what did you get out of this?
Yeah, I mean, the biggest thing was using, I guess, illustration in place of text to actually help communicate and to like bring illustration into a product or a user experience to speed the communication along and to communicate an idea rather than using it as like a superficial something that is just there that's nice to look at. I really liked this article. It was humorous, but it was easy to kind of follow. I work in illustration, but the term product is, you know, it's like fairly new in, I guess, my vernacular. Like it's only like sort of the last maybe like 12, 18 months that product as a thing, like as a software, has kind of, I've really sort of heard and understood.
How does that relate to this piece, you reckon?
I mean, I think that this was interesting because it talked about illustration being used within the user experience of, you know, using like a software product, like whether that was like web-based or something like that. I mean, yeah, I don't know.
No, it's interesting that I think exactly what you're saying, that it's just digging underneath the surface a bit because it has become this ubiquitous visual language of illustration in software products. So just the fact that they're like digging into it a bit more as a real kind of UX element, I thought was really interesting. So look, we will put these links and everything else into our show notes, which you could find at our podcast page at jackiewinter.givesyouthe.biz. And you can also sign up to our weekly newsletter at tinyletter.com/JackieWinter, where we gather all these and also announce our episodes every week. Getting into our first topic of project management tools, we've spoken quite a bit about different tools on the podcast, and today I thought we're going to do a bit of a deeper dive into explore kind of what they are. This is going to be a very link-heavy episode. I was kind of making up the notes for this, and I was just writing pages and pages and pages of links. So look, we're going to go into kind of some of the basics, but also, yeah, just kind of go a bit more in-depth on how to kind of put, I guess, the right, you know, stack together to use. But look, let's start with the very basics like we like to do in every topic. B, when we're talking about a project management tool or product, what are we actually talking about?
Project management tools. Yeah, I mean, I know you're so super excited about this episode. they're kind of as simple as possible. They're aids to assist either an organization or a team in effectively organizing work or managing projects and tasks. And a lot of the tools that we're going to be talking about today are online apps, and whether that's in organizing communication or resources, planning deliverables across a timeline, or assigning tasks, really the intention of a project management tool or a PM tool is to try and make your life easier and to help projects run more smoothly and see that they're delivered successfully and without anything falling through the cracks. So there are a number of reasons to incorporate a project management tool into your workflow. You know, we're going to explore in this episode that there is a huge range of apps and tools available on the market. It's kind of overwhelming. And there are many different philosophies to actually tackling project management, which is also can be a little bit overwhelming as well. Some of these tools try and do everything, whereas others assist in more specific ways. But some of the key features that a project management tool will have and the areas that they attempt to cover are things like planning and scheduling, which is obviously a pretty key part of successfully running a project. You know, in the planning and scheduling kind of side of things, there would be things like task management, templating, calendars, Gantt charts, and you know, more in-depth scheduling functionality to assist in allowing you to actually plan and delegate a project, prioritize tasks, keep track of milestones, deadlines, and deliverables, and keep everyone on the project accountable so that nothing falls through the cracks. You know, they can assist in breaking down, projecting and organizing work, setting due dates and assigning responsibilities so that you can see, you know, what needs to be done and who is responsible for actually doing it. So planning and scheduling is probably one of the biggest features and the key features of these PM tools. And another is collaboration. Like, obviously you can use a project management tool as an individual on your own, but a lot of these tools do kind of exist to try and help bring teams together and assign tasks and responsibilities to assist in collaboratively working on a project. So whether that's, you know, the ability for a team to provide feedback and approvals or actually share work in progress in real time, they can assist in streamlining communication by bringing people together and getting everyone involved on the same page very quickly. In a way that they do that. And another key feature is organization and documentation. So essentially providing an individual or a team with a centralized place to store files and information and basically everything that, you know, you need to work on a project and to move a project forward, instead of having to perhaps sift through, you know, hundreds of emails or messages or having bits and pieces strewn across different apps or different places on your own sort of like company server or wherever it is. Some of them, you know, in organization and documentation may offer like more advanced file management features like editing and versioning and storage to keep work under control, which is, you know, perhaps a little bit more relevant for when you're getting into the digital space, you know, in web development and things like that. Whereas others just simply exist to kind of eliminate stress by bringing everything together in the one place so you can easily actually just jump in and get started or have a written record of the project's development to actually come back to. And then the final thing that, like, I guess it's not as relevant to us in the kind of creative work that we do, but I guess one of the other key features that I kind of notice that a lot of these project management tools has is in evaluation. So in tracking and forecasting through analysis and reporting.
I mean, that's a lot of things. And I think we'll get into the difference between, I guess, yeah, forming like a stack of project management tools and the whole idea of a unified tool that brings all those things together. But yeah, effectively, it is, you know, big tools will kind of have lots of separate parts kind of to them. And I mean, the reason that I think I'm so passionate about this is because, in my opinion, like, you know, there are hundreds of tools out there. And the reason there are so many is because everyone's workflow is so different. And one of the biggest challenges is, no matter what kind of business you are, and I've helped other people set up their own kind of project management tool and kind of workflow tools and workflow, is that, you know, each one is kind of so unique. And finding one that really kind of works for you is a bit of an art form. And even though there's kind of so many that are kind of out there, people still use email, like, yeah, more than anything. And especially when you're talking about collaborating outside of your own kind of walls, getting other people on board to kind of work on a new project or new system is so, so hard. And I think that it, when you're using a PM tool, it's an extension of your business in kind of so many ways. And so getting that mesh is a real kind of challenge. But even just getting there over email is one of the biggest challenges as well. So I guess before we get into actual specific apps, B, I just wanted to talk to you about email as a project management tool. What cases does email kind of still work and it is still relevant? And what cases is it just bad?
Yeah, I guess to kind of give some context, I mean, we use project management tools, whether that is email or whether that is an actual app, in a few different ways. And one being in actually managing commissions between our artist and our client, and the other being kind of internal project management, whether we're working on a self-initiated project or just kind of trying to organize and manage the office. So email, you know, a lot of the work that I do in New York especially is very quick turnaround editorial, where a client is coming to us with a brief for one illustration, which, you know, needs to be turned around in anywhere between 1 and 3 days. And for something like that, where it is so simple and it's just one deliverable, one artist, one client, then email can be really effective. Maybe it's not worth setting up and moving the conversation to a more complex tool when you are dealing with such a quick turnaround and you're already communicating on email. So that's, you know, that's where I find email to be really simple. When it doesn't work, I mean, there are a lot of challenges with email. And I think one of the biggest ones is that everyone is dealing with email overload. So you can kind of get into a situation where you're missing things because you are receiving so much email and the priority just isn't there, or it is there, which can kind of make things difficult as well. You know, because we are all dealing with email overload already, for this reason alone, sometimes actually just removing the task from your inbox and putting it into a dedicated project management space can really help with focus. I like, you know, using email for top line discussion and negotiations with a client or an artist, but I find that there, for me especially, there's some psychological benefit in actually separating work that's more action oriented and task oriented, like managing a project, out of my inbox and into another platform. And as an example, we use Basecamp to manage most of the commissions we work on through the agency. And there's something nice about having all of my projects there in the one place in Basecamp. I know that when I open up Basecamp, like, I'm putting on my project management hat, and that's kind of like the headspace that I'm in. So yeah, having things separated really helps there. I mean, one of the biggest downfalls when using email is that it doesn't really display information particularly well, and it doesn't automatically deal with work in a collaborative way. You know, it's easy to kind of forget to hit reply all, and then suddenly a conversation that was between three people is just between two people, and then, but someone doesn't realize, and then things get missed, and yeah, and also, you know, instead of having like a full conversation that's neatly stacked in the one thread where you can go back and, you know, review the progress or review things that are happening in chronological order, you know, sometimes people start new threads and then suddenly you've got information that's kind of like scattered in four different places, and it can kind of be hard to rein that in. Also, I don't know, for a tool that's been around forever, like, I just... I mean, I kind of like mention all the time in the office, like, there's simple things that email doesn't do that I think could be done in a more kind of like elegant way, like being able to sort of deal with attachments when you're working on your mobile, or like, you know, some people's email clients push images inline, and then you suddenly, you know, you're scrolling through this like huge thread where like I don't know, it's like expanding to try and fit these huge images, and it's just like it doesn't.
Oh, look, yeah, I think you're touching on the exact same frustrations that make someone start a new product like this, is because, yes, you know, that it all really kind of comes from email, like, and the frustrations that are born of it. I think that's where Slack has, you know, that's why Slack has been so popular, because I think it's, and again, it's really kind of old technology. We spoke about Slack in a really old episode, and we're seeing kind of more things now come out of Slack, whether it was Twist that we were talking about, Atlassian has its own one that they kind of just announced as well. But yeah, you can't really talk about online project management without talking about Basecamp, who I think are, I guess, the undisputed kind of kings of this world in many ways. We use Basecamp ourselves. I think there are, I mean, Basecamp is as much of a product as it is, I guess, a working philosophy as well. Yeah. It kind of goes really kind of beyond that to so many different things. I mean, we are real passionate Basecamp users. And I think the one thing that's so nice about, I mean, I don't want this to turn into a Basecamp ad, because I have many, many frustrations with Basecamp, yeah, as a lot of other people do as well. But in terms of, yeah, finding that, you know, finding that balance between something that's really too, too simple like email and too maybe over-featured or kind of enterprise-based. I mean, maybe you could just go into a bit more of why, you know, we use Basecamp and how it fits kind of in our workflow at the moment.
And I think the being able to have a single place to store information is probably the key features that we look for or we need in a project management tool, especially when we're dealing with commissions between an artist and a client, because, you know, we need things to be in writing, and having everything in the one place and being able to review it chronologically is really helpful. The scheduling function in Basecamp is really great, and also it does have inbuilt collaboration where you can loop people into a discussion and keep people involved in a discussion, and so everyone that is needed to be there to review things is there. So I think about, like, you know, Basecamp has probably, I think, built in about like sort of 9 or 10 different tools, and we use three, which is basically message boards, scheduling, and being able to loop people in. I think we only use two tools now.
Well, yeah, look, they've got this whole new thing with kind of the client side as well. And what I'm going to talk about here is really how to find and how to evaluate different tools. And I think for me, one of the most crucial things that I do, and every time I find the new project management app, is try to see like what the client experience is like.
Yeah.
And that's where I think Basecamp really has it kind of nailed down. And when you talk about a project management tool as well, like so many things are designed for just kind of working inside a company, and the whole kind of collaboration feature working with other people is really kind of tacked on in some kind of ways. And I think that when, you know, everything that we talk about here is all about kind of a creative workflow and looking at things from our clients' perspectives as well. Like, we are working with new people every kind of day who, again, might have their own kind of systems in place, and they're working on a million other jobs, and just they're just kind of doing one maybe small part with us, and we try to introduce a whole new way of kind of working, and that can completely break someone's brains. Like, it's actually not making things easier. So it's like, and that's what's so interesting about Basecamp, is that it's deceptively simple. Like, on the surface, it looks so, so simple. But when you, if you sign up as a client, and that's one, you know, what we try to do as well, we have kind of a catch-all email set up where basically we can just set up multiple accounts and just kind of see what that process is like and set up multiple kind of browsers. And that's kind of usually everyone kind of will know I'm testing a new project management app if they come in on the weekend and there's like 10 to 20 emails in our info account from a new app. That's kind of why we like Basecamp.
But yeah, and one of the things that I didn't mention was the Basecamp does integrate with an with email. So every time, you know, you post a new comment in a thread, it does actually go to your email. So you can kind of engage with it through your inbox, or you can engage with it through the Basecamp app, whether that's on your phone or whether it's in the web browser. So that, you know, that kind of helps bridge, you know, this, like, people that are really used to using email and don't maybe want to learn a new system and maybe feel overwhelmed by learning a new system, that can kind of be like a nice sort of bridge.
Yeah, Basecamp is really the gateway drug to project management.
Yes.
They're on version 3, and yeah, we've been with them from the beginning. But yeah, they also have a great philosophy on how and how to keep things simple and how to kind of work. And, you know, they've written, you know, books about a lot of books about work. And
I think I think every second episode we maybe bring up an article or something that Jason Fried has written.
They're a very they're very divisive in lots of other ways, but really advanced on others. But yeah, Basecamp as the as the gateway drug has kind of led into, for me, this kind of endless pursuit of trying to find new and better things. One thing that I've spoken about before is Basecamp has a really great open API, and meaning that you can kind of connect it with other things really easily, especially with webhooks and using chatbots and all these other things that we're getting more and more interested in. But yeah, I'm always kind of looking for new things, and there's a few other apps that we're going to kind of mention here, and we're going to put all the links to these in our show notes, because I think it's really important that everyone kind of try this to find out what works for you in that way. When Basecamp first came out, there were a whole bunch of people that were trying to, I guess, emulate it and come out with different versions of it. So there's another Basecamp, I guess, not real clone anymore, but it's called Freedcamp. And it used to be kind of a free way to kind of run Basecamp, but now it's kind of turned into its whole, into a whole kind of new thing as well. And usually all of these, just as Basecamp kind of emerged from the deficiencies of email, a lot of these other project management apps kind of, I think, grow up out of, you know, deficiencies from Basecamp. So, you know, Basecamp is really kind of set in terms of, these are the things we do, these are the things we won't do. And people are like, no, I really want these things, so I'm going to kind of start my own app. So that has a Kanban board, or that has Gantt charts, or different ways to kind of, put more advanced features in. So that's kind of, that's what Freedcamp kind of is at this stage. There's also another one called Active Collab. I can't remember if it's Active Collab or Freedcamp, but there was one of these that allowed you to actually install on your own servers. And this is where another app comes into play called Pancake, which is really interesting. It's very kind of similar to Basecamp at the moment, but it allows you to kind of install on your own servers. You have a bit more control over the whole kind of look and feel and other bits and pieces. And each or all of these apps have their own kind of design and ways that you can kind of brand it as well, in terms of whether it kind of looks like kind of part of your business, or whether like you're actually kind of using another third-party app. For, I guess, more advanced pieces, there's things like Microsoft Project as well, which is kind of a whole separate beast unto itself. And B, you talked a lot about, okay, I wish it would integrate better with email or kind of other things. And that's where, I mean, Microsoft Project as a project management tool, people do enormous projects in that. That's when you're talking about really big infrastructure projects, like building bridges or roads and things like that. And everyone's in the Microsoft ecosystem of using kind of Outlook and Office and tying all these things together. And I think that's another important thing. Like, if you have technical if you have technical restrictions that you need to kind of stick to, that will kind of guide what kind of things that you can work with as well. That's why Microsoft Projects is a great thing, but that requires like almost like separate specific training just to use it. It's a pretty in-depth tool. There's also Workflow Max, which is something that's kind of like old Basecamp as well, but it was kind of purchased by Xero. And so this is another thing where I kind of have been finding tools through other tools. So we're a big Xero business here. And when I noticed that they kind of bought Workflow Max, it's like, well, if you do a lot of work in Xero to do your kind of proposals and estimates, now you have this kind of real tight integration with a kind of project management system as well. I think it's really kind of focused towards tradespeople in an interesting way, but it has, again, great detailed features that nothing else on the market has as well. Then there's kind of specific apps that kind of hero a specific feature. And we'll get into kind of proofing a bit more and things like, I guess, things that are more
specific.
Yeah, proofing and versioning. But there's another one called ProofHub, which I was kind of looking at for a long time, which centers around kind of proofing. So actual kind of approving and editing of images and other kind of media. And I had a lot of trouble kind of trying to demo this at one time. And also, this is another thing to kind of look out for. It's like if the site itself or the design itself, if something's kind of off with it, then it kind of gives me a clue that, okay, something else kind of might be wrong as well. And like ProofHub looks really good, but then you start looking at it and you really have to kind of test, okay, what are the email flows like and how does the design look? Because, you know, if something is like kind of broken in the design, like if a button is kind of misplaced or misaligned, you know, then your client's going to see that and I get really kind of picky with that stuff. Like I don't want our clients to kind of see anything that's kind of less than perfect coming through the email. So when I'm looking at kind of a new PM tool and I'm kind of browsing through their mobile site and I see it's like, okay, they haven't actually kind of like fixed this weird display and design bug. What does that say about the rest of the code that's kind of underneath? So look, those kind of top level tools, you really have to kind of see for yourself. We'll put all the links to that on our show notes, but those are kind of more kind of complete based tools. Now there's also kind of more, I guess, collaborative tools that are kind of more list based. And this is when we talk about, Kanban and things like that. We use a bit of a mix of these as well in everything. How do these kind of differ from the bigger PM tools? And, you know, where are the pros and cons there?
Yeah, I mean, we in the office use a list-based app called Wunderlist. And there's probably a competing product called Asana, which, yeah, we use in our workflow here. And we basically use a list-based tool for both task management and a way for us to collaboratively capture and share information. So we have a shared Wunderlist here at Jackie Winter, which we mostly use to manage internal projects and information. I mean, for the podcast, you know, the three of us have a shared list where we capture ideas for episodes. And so, you know, when we're planning topics for the next week, we can kind of like go through and choose a topic to riff on for the next episode. But we also use it, I guess, in sort of really basic project management. I mean, these list-based task management apps have a few more features in terms of being able to actually, you know, assign responsibilities to people and assign due dates and reminders. We don't quite go use it in our own workflow in that depth, which I'm kind of a little bit like sad about because I quite enjoy it. But it's just something that I don't think we've really worked into our process. But we mostly use it for, people will kind of dip in when they need to find something rather than it being something that we kind of actively use throughout the day.
Yeah, like I think list-based tools are really interesting. And also, even though most tools are web-based, we do use the Wunderlist app because it's kind of so fast. And I think that, yeah, no matter what, when you're using an online tool, there's always going to be a bit of delay. And Asana, which has become much more than a list tool, and I don't know if it is an equal competitor, but there are the other ones would be kind of like Todoist, I think, is the main competitor to Wunderlist at the moment. And the reason we never use that was just simply because of the speed. And Wunderlist is something, again, that's very deceptively simple, but you can use it as a full-fledged project management app if you want to. It would be very messy to kind of do so. But yeah, this is kind of something that we kind of use internally, and it's just a very basic thing in terms of setting items and assigning responsibility and dates due and things like that. There's also Kanban as well. The most notable Kanban app is Trello, which actually only just like Trello, which has been around for years, just launched their own native Mac app last week. And I'd always been very, very resistant to Trello, and it's always interesting as well being on the other side of it. I remember working with Yasmin at Media Arts Lawyer, she was like, oh, you should join our Trello board. I was like, I don't want to use another thing that's not base
stamp. Oh, no, well, you, I mean, I think we should go back a little bit. Like, Kanban, what is that?
You tell me.
I mean, this is where, like, I'll be honest, like, I found it really difficult to prepare for this episode, because this is where you get into things like really overwhelming, like, jargon and buzzwords like Agile and Scrum and, like, these kind of, like, other project management philosophies. And Kanban, I think it may be, I can't remember if it's, like, industrial or, like, military, like, that's where the history, but it's like a methodology, and it's a way to visualize tasks on, like, it's more like a board-based approach.
Yes, it's actually a Japanese manufacturing system.
Right, okay, there we go.
But yeah, it's kind of boards, and it's about seeing kind of things in cards, basically, and moving kind of different cards into different kind of piles. So it's a real, I guess it's like, it's when you look at the post-it system of project management, I think, which is very big in manufacturing, as well as kind of, you know, film and other industries like that. It's a digital manifestation of what can be a very kind of physical process, and it's great to visualize tasks that
Yeah,
that
and,
way.
And to break them down. But I mean, talking about, like, the onboarding system, which is something that is really, you know, important to think about. I was invited to Trello a couple of months ago when we were working with our web designers on something, and I was kind of brought into the project, and you know, I think you were like, oh, Bianca, just check something out on this Trello board, and I like opened it and it was completely overwhelming. And I had so much resistance to using it because I had to spend like 10 minutes on my own, like figuring out where everything was. You know, how do you onboard, whether it's a client or a production partner, into a new system is something that is really, really important to think about.
Well, yeah, when we were using Basecamp too, we had to make kind of our own videos and own screencasts, and Basecamp eventually kind of provided their own videos in that regard. So yeah, that is a really interesting thing that you bring up. With Kanban and Trello, there's, I think, a new generation of tools coming out, which is kind of more database driven. And the most interesting version of that is called Airtable at the moment. And I'm really into Airtable. There's been a lot of hype around it. And I think one of the biggest advantages of it, it's basically like a spreadsheet on steroids. And you can put information in there in a bunch of different ways and view it in different ways, including a Kanban view as well. So yeah, I'm kind of seeing a lot of movement towards that. And yeah, we'll put a link to that as well. But yeah, those are kind of more kind of list-based, not really essentially project management tools like in themselves, but kind of things that you can use to manage projects. I think, you know, really kind of following on from that, it's more, you know, using little apps that are kind of focused and doing one thing and doing one thing great and kind of putting a bit of a stack together. This is where I think things are kind of going a bit more, because I think more and more there is not one kind of tool that does everything well. And I think that the more focused development in an app, I think the more kind of control you can kind of have over it. You can get into it can get into a bit of dangerous territory where, like, all of a sudden, like, you know, you're paying, you know, $3.99 a month for about like 30 different apps, and it's getting ridiculous. But there are some interesting things like Team Gantt, for example, which is, you know, started out as just a way to do Gantt charts. And Gantt charts are kind of also known as kind of waterfall planning. And it's a kind of planning that I really quite like, all about kind of conditional dates where, you know, tasks are kind of grouped together. And if one thing moves, everything moves under that, like a waterfall. There's also kind of, you know, so that's kind of like, if you don't like the way a specific thing is handling time tracking, but everything else is good, you might want to consider, okay, maybe we'll use Team Gantt for this and then, you know, use Basecamp for kind of everything else. Some things have time tracking built in, or if you don't like the way that works or integrates with the other apps, you can look at something like Harvest, for example, which is the biggest kind of time tracking app. And all of these kind of apps all kind of work together with everything else. So you really can kind of pick and choose these smaller things to kind of, I guess, build your own thing. There's also ProofHQ. There's lots of different proofing apps like that. Liquid Planner. We'll talk about how to find different apps later. But yeah, this is kind of more about, you know, picking and choosing different elements. There's also apps that are very specific to industries as well. Like, so if you, for example, run a design studio, and while most of these kind of bigger apps, for example, are really just trying to, I guess, attack things with a pretty blunt instrument. So seeing these apps that are kind of very tailored to specific industries, like the design and film industry and web industry, are really encouraging as well. Streamtime is a local app developed here in Australia that is just kind of went from a FileMaker-based system to a completely web-based system with phenomenal design that's really kind of focusing on design studios. So it's kind of project management, but it's also kind of studio management as well. A few things that we've been looking at in the film and digital space, there's one called frame.io, which is kind of specifically for VFX effects and animation. A few of our artists are kind of using that as well. And again, that has kind of specific tools. If you're working in that kind of space, that's going to be really great in terms of whether or not you have to kind of send out things for review and get feedback on moving image specifically. And in the web and digital space, there's InVision, which I think is, you know, really one of the leaders now in trying to kind of traffic through UX design and getting feedback on that work. And also Confluence, which is part of the Atlassian suite, is also kind of another pretty substantial suite of things there. Then there are some, I guess, more unique approaches as well, which I'm kind of seeing that I'm really interested in. One is called Client Flow, which I thought was really great because you talk about how email isn't kind of really working as a app. And Client Flow actually just kind of reverses that and say, well, actually, because people are still working in email so much, but there's no kind of structured way to kind of put that together. So Client Flow defines, I guess, your workflow of how you actually send emails and get emails approvals and kind of templates that. And yeah, I'm not talking about it well, but it's definitely worth checking out. That along with another one called Stepsy, which is kind of very similar. It's about breaking your own unique workflow into different kind of steps and then kind of executing that in email as well. And then finally, there's, you know, things like using Slack as well for project management.
Yeah, I mean, I used that one time, and I think we spoke about that on our Slack episode. And I mean, I kind of used it in addition to using Basecamp, and it was more for very quick fire communication.
Yeah, and there's like all these different Slack bots and tools and things like IFTT and Zapier as well that kind of can connect different things. So yeah, Slack is a very kind of basic tool in terms of how it works. But yeah, people are using it for project management as well as things like Facebook. So Facebook has entered the fray with Facebook Workplace, and they're trying to compete with Slack and other things so to manage projects there as well. So definitely worth looking. You know, you can also just really roll your own, I guess, and make something completely custom, which we've kind of done with FileMaker over the last 10 years. But again, that's kind of sort of a CRM. But the way that we've kind of now been able to connect that with Basecamp has been great. Dropbox has come up with something called Dropbox Paper, which I think has huge potentials there. That's kind of one of the platforms that I'm most excited about at the moment. Look, this has been such a funny one because like the more I could really talk about this for kind of hours and get into it. And it was so hard to kind of call even the ones that I've talked about above. But I think if you want to, the place that I find tools is on Product Hunt. I love Product Hunt. It's a great place to kind of, it's where kind of everyone launches all of their new software. So pretty much any web app that's being launched, it'll be on Product Hunt. And if you use an RSS reader or anything else, you can kind of tailor that to only kind of see the project management apps that you're kind of interested in. But one really great site that I love as well is called Alternative 2. And this is kind of where if I find an app that I kind of like, but it's not quite right, I want to kind of see what else is in the space. You kind of say, okay, I want to find the alternative to Basecamp, and it lists kind of like 40 other things, and you can go visit those independently. Because yeah, I think it's there are so many products out there at the moment, and you know, everyone and their dog is kind of working on one. You know, we might have something cooking as well.
I think for me, like, I just love talking to people about, you know, what they're using. Like, have you used Basecamp before? Oh no, I haven't used Basecamp, but we use this. This is what we're kind of using to manage projects internally. This is, you know, oh, I was working on a project the other day with someone. Like, that's how I prefer to work because I don't like reading.
I mean, look, the word of mouth is really great, but I mean, yeah, I think it's no matter how great Basecamp is, I think it's important to make sure that we're constantly kind of looking at things. But again, if you find something you really like, when you talk about building those stacks as well, looking at the Basecamp integration page is a place where I found lots of these things as well. So when you find software that works well with other software and they kind of publicly talk about that, that's a good way to kind of find new things. Look, the bottom line is that like there is kind of no one-size-fits-all approach here for any of these things. I mean, there's so many things out there. They do so many different things. But I think that our focus is really about like how do you kind of really perfect the art of project management, creative project management especially. And I think that it is an ongoing exploration in that kind of way. And so looking at these apps and kind of what they do, is really just going to make your projects work better, whether you kind of use them or not, just to kind of have the conversations and see, what makes projects tick. So ending, as we like to do every week, is going to the most Melbourne and New York thing at the moment. But because, Bianca, you're here in Melbourne, it's the most Melbourne and the most Melbourne thing.
I mean, I've been living in New York for a year and a half, and I'm here for a couple of weeks visiting. And there's so many things that I forgot about, like having to push the button to open the tram door and having to push the button to trigger the lights to cross the road. I forgot how to do Melbourne.
What have you learned?
I miss New York coffee so much. I just want a cup of shit black coffee that costs me a dollar from the side of the road. I love New York coffee. That's like such a, I mean, that's like sacrilegious to say in Melbourne, but it really makes me sad that I can't get like a terrible cup of coffee here.
Very nice. I think for me, I don't have anything kind of major. I wrote in my notes Alvin and the Chipmunks because I just listened to the episode, the newest episode of one of my favorite podcasts I've talked about before, How I Built This. I wanted to bring this up on the podcast anyway, cause when we were talking about kind of following on from our copyright and fair use and licensing episode, because this is a great episode really talking about why Alvin and the Chipmunks is so successful, because they never kind of sold the rights to it. Like they kind of kept it all. But it was also interesting because I don't know if anyone knows as well, I listened to all my podcasts at 2x, twice the speed. They were playing Alvin the Chipmunks, which is already like the whole thing came from someone speeding up their own voice, and they were like playing a lot of clips from Alvin and the Chipmunks. And I don't know if this is a more of a uniquely Melbourne thing, but a very Jeremy thing. I think if anyone was driving next to me with the window down and heard Alvin and the Chipmunks sped up to kind of 2x for a while, it was might have been a very disturbing thing to hear. So that's my most Melbourne thing this week. Okay, I think that'll do us. Thank you, Bianca.
Thank you, Jeremy. Go.
This has been Jackie Winter Gives You the Business. Jackie Winter Gives You the Business is a weekly podcast about creative project management and production and just making things happen in general. Our producer is Areej Noor. You can find the Jackie Winter Group on Facebook, Twitter, and Instagram at Jackie Winter. That's Jackie with a Y and Winter like the season. And you can email us with any recommendations, feedback, questions, or comments at podcast@jackiewinter.com. Archives of all of our shows and show notes can be found at jackiewinter.givesyouthe.biz. Our theme music is by Melbourne-based musician Jackie Winter. You can check out his stuff on SoundCloud at soundcloud.com/jackiewinter. If you like what you hear, you can help us out by subscribing on iTunes, rating us, and commenting too. Details are on our podcast website at jackiewinter.givesyouthe.biz. You can also sign up to our tiny letter at tinyletter.com/JackieWinter to get an email every Friday when we release the show with the show notes all in there as well. This week will be a long one, so definitely check that out. Thanks for listening. Catch you next week. Bye-bye. And so she holds a